Welcome to ID the Future, the podcast for intelligent design and evolution. I'm your host today, Ray Bolin, and my guest is Matt Briggs, actually the columnist William Briggs for The Stream, which is a just basically a national daily that covers lots of different things, sometimes from a conservative, sometimes even Christian perspective. And today our topic is going to be the March for Science. It's entered a little bit of controversy recently. So, Matt, why don't you tell us what exactly is the March for Science?
Well, the March for Science is a political event started by people who were made exceptionally nervous by the election of President Trump. It's being held on Earth Day in Washington, D.C., but also because it is Earth Day and they had other celebrations, if I could use that word, best word, planned for other parts all over the world. They're going to have these little satellite marches. I guess they have one in Philadelphia. And so on. These people somehow say that President Trump is at war with science, and they don't find that language bombastic or hyperbolic at all. Although, of course, no shots have been fired, nobody's been killed, there are no tanks or planes, or in fact, any changes in scientific output from the government whatsoever. But somehow they feel that now that Trump is president, science, this strange entity called science, will not be worshipped or admired, or it's hard to really pin these people down. They don't have a consistent ideology, but they really say they love science.
Well, I know for me, when people just start using the word science and don't really put it into any context, I immediately get a little nervous because science covers an awful lot of ground. And when you're just trying to talk about it in that way, it kind of indicates that there's a sort of a squishiness about it that you can end up allowing it to mean just about whatever you want it to mean. So they have some angst over Trump being president. Is there any particular issue that has them fearing that this war of science has begun?
Absolutely. Global warming. Global warming is what started them off. The very first day, maybe it wasn't the first day, but very soon after Trump was elected, he had somebody remove references to global warming, also known as climate change, from the White House website. And this sent off conniption fits and panic attacks and exasperation all around the world. And it was at that point they conceived this sort of March for Science idea. But that's the only real thing that they have. They haven't anything else yet. But they're certain sure that Trump is going to close down anything that they call science.
And the only science that's allowed is that supports the concerns over global warming. That's real
science. That's exactly right. Look, it's very important to point out here, the vast majority of participants at these marches are going to be people who haven't a clue about science. The most science they've ever been exposed to is probably in high school, maybe a little bit in college. They have a bare, sketchy understanding, but they do seem to believe that there are certain scientific facts that everybody must believe to be a good citizen, to be politically correct, to be enlightened. And it doesn't matter whether these facts actually accord with reality. That's a real sticking point for them. But they don't so much believe in science because they don't understand it. Take global warming. Now, I started off doing climatology in my professional career. And so I do climatological statistics. I know quite a bit about the field and atmospheric physics. And you meet these people who are sure that global warming is real. They have never studied it. They don't know anything about it. I always ask them a few scientific facts like, well, define vorticity for me, or what's your favorite cloud parameterization scheme in these CMIP models? They're absolutely silent on all these things, yet they know for a fact that the Earth is warming dangerously, and that the only thing that could solve it is the politics, their solutions. So that political nature of this is what drives this. And science itself, scientific facts itself, have almost no relation to what they're doing.
So it almost could be called a march for science in small letters, as I define it.
Exactly.
Well, obviously, there's always been a political slant to this, but what has caught my attention with the column you posted a couple days ago was that Bill Nye, as everybody knows, is the science guy, apparently was asked to stay away. Now, I would think you'd want the science guy connected with the March for Science, wouldn't you?
He makes a good spokesmodel, I guess. The leading of the parade, he looks good in a bow tie, that kind of thing. But some of these people, it's all politics, so they started immediately suspecting this guy. Wait a minute. Bill Nye is white and a male. And if people see Bill Nye, this white male, walking with the baton down the streets of Washington, they may have the idea that there are scientists who are white and male, and therefore there are no scientists who are anything other than white and male. So they say, well, we love Bill Nye, but he's not a good representative for us because of diversity, because of inclusivity, because he's not labeled as same-sex attracted, or because he's not black, or because he doesn't meet any of these other desirable political qualities. And so they wanted to dump him. They kept him in the end. He still, in the end, is going to be there, as they say, at this particular moment in time. You know, we still have a week or so here, so things could change. So he'll still be there, but grudgingly.
But not probably at the lead of the parade.
No, they have two women for that, to emphasize the fact that, yes, women can do science too, which, of course, there's nobody on the planet that I know of that disagrees with that statement. So it's kind of a ridiculous thing to try to reemphasize because nobody disputes it. But these people, it's all politics. It's all politics. The famous thing that they did, they have a Twitter account, Science March DC. That's their handle. And they tweeted early on in this fiasco, colonization, racism, immigration, native rights, sexism, ableism, queer, trans, intersex phobia, and econ justice are scientific issues, which, of course, none of them are. Science is absolutely silent, as you know, just as well as I, on any ethical or moral problem. Science can't tell us any of these things. Even if it's true that somehow the globe is warming, for instance, at some fractional rate, it doesn't tell us what to do about it. That's still an ethical, political, moral judgment. Science itself is silent on all these things, and necessarily silent. And they're confusing because these people don't understand science. If to them everything is political and everything is power, science is just another way of administering power.
Now, it would seem to me that if you want to limit your discussion to the culture of those who are scientists, who serve somehow in that overall enterprise, whether it be physical science, biological science, astronomy, whatever, within the culture of scientists, some of those issues very definitely could come into play and might be a problem here and there in different parts of the world in the United States. But it's not a definition of what science is, it seems to me.
It isn't. It is. We can ask a scientist, if we divert energy resources from here to there, what do you think will happen? And the scientist will say, well, in my estimation, this. And he'll be thanked. And then it has to come down to matters that are in no way scientific. It has to do with everything else, economics, politics, religion, custom, morals, ethics, all of which are non-scientific subjects. And this, these people just do not understand. And we can go out there and march, but nobody is claiming any scientific fact, and the Trump administration or elsewhere is wrong or should not be studied, or that science is somehow invalid or should not be taught or anything like this. They don't know what they're marching for. They just know that they're unhappy, and they want us to know it too.
Now, it seems, according to your column, you seem to indicate that they've, at least more recently, probably through their Twitter account, that they've become more specific about what this march really is all about. And I think you've already been going down that road. It's far more political and social than it is scientific. So what are they now saying? What are they admitting the whole purpose of this march is?
Oh, this changes all the time, too. But at the time I wrote it was just a week ago. But this group has gone through already four or five, it might be up to five now, diversity statements. These are not scientific things, but they say something like inclusion, diversity, equity, and accessibility are integral to the mission and to our overall goals and principles. Now, none of those are scientific principles, but what matters to them is not the science, but who is doing the science. It's a matter of power politics again. If we don't meet their version of equality, whatever that is, then we're said to be non-inclusive. We're said to be non-diverse. And all this is a lot of nonsense, because what they do is they pick off a few politically desirable characteristics, and then they look for gaps and imbalances and all these kinds of things. Well, these are very loaded words. There's no imbalance in mathematics, for instance, just because it happens to be that there are more male mathematicians than females. I mean, you can't go in and insist that the departments and every research department around the country are equally balanced in all these characteristics. For one, it's absurd. For another, it's impossible, because once you start down this road, everybody starts wanting to come to the table. Every single kind of a group and orientation, these words they use, all of a sudden wants to have their cut. And there's no way you can balance these characteristics, because they multiply endlessly. There's no way to make everybody happy, ever. And to look for this kind of stuff and start demonstrating for it is just futile. Or if they win the battle, they could have, as every time diversity is made official, it always, absolutely always leads to mandatory quotas. And that could happen, as it seems to be happening, on college campuses all over the place.
Well, Earth Day, which you say is when the march is happening, is April 22nd, correct?
Yep.
And the main march, although you indicated there would be some others, will be in Washington, D.C. So I assume that in our newspapers and in our news broadcasts on April 23rd, there will be various reports about this March of Science. So what I'm understanding you to say is we ought to be a little bit skeptical of what we read in the mainstream media.
More than skeptical. The mainstream media supports the political goals for the most part of these people. And so it'll all become about politics, you know. I wouldn't even bother reading it. There would be nothing, I think, that you could gain from it except to learn how propaganda works. And propaganda does work. There's no argument about it. That's why they continue doing it.
We can do the science that shows you propaganda works.
That's correct. We can.
Well, Matt, it's been a pleasure talking with you today, and I think this has been a very engaging interview, and I'm looking forward to actually see what happens with this March for Science on April 22nd. And I just want to remind everybody that I'm Ray Bolin. I'm your host today for ID the Future, the podcast concerning evolution and intelligent design, and thank you for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.